Okay, hold on. Yes. Hi. I'd feel much better doing this on the phone to start, because I have ongoing cases with the Palm Beach County Sheriff that are in internal affairs. I've reported a lot of this to the FBI already. So I just would feel.
I could understand your concern, sir. If you could really understand mine also, I don't know who I'm talking to, so. It'd be kind of hard to be able to say, oh, I did speak to Elliot Bernstein, you know, or did I speak to somebody else? And I'm sure that you're having the same questions about me. Do you know who I am? Do you know what we're talking about? You know, so
why don't we just start on the phone and let me get an idea of what's going on here? And then.
Okay. Sure. Let me start off with this. On February 28th, at about 5:24 a.m., you called my office. I got a message from you saying, please call Elliot I. Bernstein at 248-8588, reference a specific case number. He believes he may be in danger as well.
Correct.
That same day, I called you a couple times, and I got no answer. Unfortunately, I have not been able to make contact with you anymore until today.
Okay. That's okay, and I did express my concerns to the federal court, and I did express my concerns to Judge John Robert Blakey of the Illinois Northern District. I did express my concerns to the FBI.
Okay.
So...
But in the reference to the case that you mentioned, mm-hmm. which is going to be the Hume case.
Correct.
Right? If you believe that you're in danger as well, I want to make sure that I am able to protect everybody else that was in danger also.
Well, I think a lot of people might be in danger, but...
And that's what I'm trying to talk to you about.
Well, I'm happy to talk. So can we talk on the phone, and then, you know, if we have to meet later, you know... When I can get people.
Would you feel more comfortable if we met like at Starbucks for some coffee?
No. I'd feel comfortable like meeting possibly in a lawyer office or something like that. I mean, I'm a little worried about it.
If you don't want to talk to me without a lawyer, that's perfectly understandable.
No, I don't mind. I don't mind talking to you. I don't mind talking to you at all.
Okay.
But in person, I'm a little nervous about what's going on and. You know, with what's going on with your investigation, and I just would feel better if we, you know, I've talked to, you know, Detective Panzer, Miller, Groover, all of them on the phone. I've met with them in person when necessary, so I can talk to you now on the phone and meet with you at a time where I would feel, you know, comfortable. I don't even know if the substation's open.
I would have it open.
Yeah, so I'd like to be there with a lot of people there type thing.
Okay. All right. So do you know, is there any specific dangers that the Humes, any part of the family, might be in danger right now?
I don't know if his... I could speculate and say that, you know, his wife maybe.
Okay. Who would want to harm his wife?
Well... the house sale was contentious all along. Detective Panzer should have some information on that. I objected to the home sale because first it was done secretly, and I had a pending Liz Pendens that Judge Martin Colon was holding because he made me file things with him prior to filing them with the court. So several months earlier, before even learning about a house sale, I had given him a Liz pendant. And then my wife was on Zillow, and she got a Zillow alert that said that the house was being sold. So I immediately filed the Liz pendants, and everything went into the court. And that case went all the way up to the Supreme Court. I pushed for Judge Martin Colon. I don't know if you've seen, he's been all over the paper in some kind of guardianship kind of frauds and selling assets out of his garage of people's.
You're kind of breaking up, sir.
I said, I then moved the court to disqualify Judge Martin Colon because I thought what he was doing was basically illegal. He was trying to keep me from contacting the buyer to notify him that there was litigation. And I thought that was wholly criminal, actually.
Especially, who would want to harm Mrs. Hume?
Well, that's what I'm getting to here. And so the house was contentious. We then went to some hearings where Judge Colon acted, I believe, you know, outside the color of law. I had asked Detective Panzer several times to start investigations of Judge Martin Colon. I don't know where that went. But I also moved to disqualify him. He recused one day after denying my disqualification. The house in the whole case then went all the way to the Supreme Court, where I was to the Supreme Court of Florida, and then back down to the 4th DCA, and then we had a new judge, and then another new judge, and this new judge, John Phillips, approved the sale, and then I guess Mitch Hewham had moved into the house. Now, I had heard from a friend of the family, because my family used to live there in St. Andrews, somebody named Mitch, without a last name, had moved into the house, was using the country club services months before. And so when the house sold, I got a message from a gentleman, William Stansberry, who I also had asked Detective Groover and Panzer to contact, and they never did. Mr. Stansberry's a creditor in the estate. He was also baffled by the judge's actions. And he told me that the house was sold to a place called Lion's Head Lands Trust. And so I was talking with my consultant, and he then contacted, well, he looked up some records, and he found a gentleman, an attorney at law, who I'm also, you know, accusing of fraud and other crimes, Alan Rose, Alan B. Rose. And Mr. Rose, his name is on the deed with my brothers, and Lion's Head Land Trust, the consultant looked up, was incorporated by one Lelani Ochilada or something. And Lelani spoke with my consultant, and she said she did not know anything about the incorporation of Lion's Head Land Trust, that she didn't live there like it said she did, but she knew of some of the basics of the company, and there was some Lawrence Pino attorney that she thought might have done this, and she put on the record on a taped call with me and my consultant stating that she had no idea, that she wasn't involved in it. And they then exchanged some letters, her and the Pino person, I believe, where then they tried to say she did, but they couldn't produce any documents. And then I took that information. I believe my consultant contacted the State Department about it, about that the shell company seemed to be, you know, possibly fraudulently set up. I then, so I believe that's the week before you found Mitch. And then the following week, I prepared papers for the federal court. And I took it both into the federal court and before Judge John Phillips here in the 15th Judicial, information that the house, you know, appeared to have been sold fraudulently. What's interesting to note there is that I go into a federal court with some of the attorneys who are all involved in the Florida cases, and nobody, you know, notifies this federal judge that, you know, not only is Elliot bringing up some kind of fraud about the house, but, you know, in fact, there's a dead person in there. And I didn't find that out till after the hearing, the first hearing. The second hearing, the next week, they also didn't bring it up. But I had submitted to the judge a motion that outlined that there was somebody found dead in the house, and that nobody had told him or anybody else, and they still haven't, you know, really brought it up in court as if it's, you know, doesn't matter, although they're trying to move to have all these orders to silence me so that I can't talk to anybody. And if I
so you believe that the fraud investigation might have led to the Hume family being in danger?
There, you know, there was no fraud investigation. There was just us contacting Lolani.
There's no fraud allegations?
Well, no, because we didn't make any allegations until...
Why do you think that the Hume family is in danger?
Well, I don't know if anybody's in danger. I mean, I don't know if it's a suicide. If it was a murder, I would think everybody's in danger. I've heard that, you know, this guy was supposed...
Why do you think that you might be in danger as well?
Well, you know, I think you can talk to Andrew Panzer and Detective Miller. I've felt in danger from what's going on here for a long time, 4 years. I do feel that what's going on in the probate court starts with my brother alleging my father was murdered and having the Palm Beach County Sheriff come to investigate. And then the investigation gets misclassified by the Palm Beach County Sheriff as a hospital maintenance record check. And it still hasn't been clarified as in change to a possible murder. And then I get, you know, a coroner's report that doesn't, even though my brother Ted called in a possible poisoning of my father by his girlfriend. I don't get to the coroner and find out that there was no poison test for like a year or so, a little even longer. And then I ask the coroner, Michael Bell, to do a poison test, which he does, and the results come back on a 113-year-old man, which is not my father, but on whoever it is, the poison results are elevated arsenic, elevated cadmium, and elevated some other, I think, environmental poison. And, you know, there was a woman arrested right next to my dad's office that my brother rented office space to right after my dad died. Can? What was that woman's name?
Sherry Goldman.
And she was arrested for injecting people with drugs for the second time. And, you know, I've reported this all to your offices before. The investigations were derailed by Judge Colin. I had to go through IA. I had to go to Captain Carol Gregg. And, you know, all of this possibly centers around the fact that I invented some patents worth, you know, supposedly like a gazillion dollars, a trillion dollars, whatever number they want to throw at it. And at that point, I had caught my attorneys stealing my patents, which led to my patents being suspended at the patent office, and it also led to my car being bombed. So I've had worry that people have been trying to kill me for quite some time. I now have worry that they might have murdered my father. And then there's a dead guy in my dad's home days after he supposedly buys the house in a... what I would only call a fraudulent transaction from the day it started. Meaning, they were trying to prevent me from talking to the buyer in court with court orders to suppress me. because I was going to notify whoever that there was, you know, Liz Pendens on the house, that, you know, there was litigation going on, and that, you know, I believe that the whole deal was being conducted fraudulently by the judges and the attorneys involved. By the way, there's a massive open frauds. I've contacted Internal Affairs. I'm waiting to hear back from them in writing as to the status of my investigations being reopened on all of these issues. The first house that was sold, I gave Detective Panzer and Miller evidence that my brother had signed documents apparently fraudulently, that the transaction, that transaction appeared steeped in fraud. I've proven that the lawyer's notary committed fraud. The lawyer came into your office as Robert Spallina and admitted fraud, but he hasn't been arrested yet. He admitted mailing fraudulent documents to my children's attorney. And my belief is these guys are trying to kill me and, you know, put me out of business and possibly my whole family. You know, if you look at the car bombing, it certainly would have wiped out me, my wife, and my kids. And, you know, these people are, you know, I believe, capable of anything at this point. And so who's in danger? You know, I was hoping you'd know all that at this point, because it's pretty damn scary what's going on. I mean, it's really scary. And in court, they're going crazy on me here. They're trying to put guardians on my kids. They've saying I'm not a beneficiary, I don't have standing after 4 years in a court case. So they're trying to shut me down hard. And, you know, that could include possibly killing me for possibly exposing what appears to be a fraudulent transaction.
You're talking about Attorney Robert Simolina admitting to fraud while at the sheriff's office.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That is 100%.
Yeah, he said that he still hadn't been arrested and you don't know what's going on with that investigation.
No.
He said something about a car bomb. What was that?
Okay, if you go to my website, iviewit.tv, you'll see a picture of my car that, you know, according to the fire investigator Rick Lee at the time, there was accelerants used or whatever to blow up the car. It blew up the cars next to it. The hood's blown off. The FBI's in. Do what?
You believe that those two incidents were connected?
Listen, I think everything's connected to these patents and people trying to kill me about the patents. Yeah, since the car bomb went off, I've definitely thought, you know, people are trying to kill me. So.
When was that exposure to your car?
Cam, when was that?
I'm sorry?
Oh, I'm just asking my wife. She's good on the dates. What? Hold on, let me just check. Yeah, I got the exact date on my site. Hold on. And I contacted the FBI about this. I contacted the sheriff. I contacted Special Agent Stephen Lucchese of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, West Palm Beach, on March 14th, 2005. And
the car bomb in that time frame?
Yeah, my car was towed to Family Auto on June 24th, blah, blah, blah. Family Auto contacted Palm Beach County Sheriff, case number 0508190, attached, who reported a theft. The car was then moved at the request of our insurance to Master. They stated it appears that our car did the blowing up and caught two other cars on fire. They stated it appears that our car did... hold on. He also stated that appear due to vandalism. So it looks like, right about that date. Right around maybe a day or so before that.
Mr. Bernstein, do you have any knowledge of someone that is in direct danger?
Well, I think
I think... Is anybody in immediate danger?
Yeah, I think I am.
Okay. Who would I talk to? Who would be the suspect that would be putting you in danger?
Well, I would talk to Ted Bernstein, Alan Rose, Robert Spallina, Donald Tesher, Judge Martin Colon and Judge John Phillips.
And that's due to patents, fraud investigations?
No. Those, well, my brother's involved. He was the last person in possession of my car before it was taken to a tow shop. And then another tow shop where, well, first tow shop it was robbed and stripped of all its wiring, and then that was that police report number I just gave you. Then it was towed from there to the place it blew up. But my brother was the last one in possession. He had told me that that AAA had towed it. AAA had contacted me after the FBI contacted them and told me that's not what happened. He had called to get the car picked up, and then he had Vrachka Auto pick it up, and he canceled his AAA while they were on the way to pick the car up. I asked him to call the FBI. I don't believe he ever has. My brother is friends with all the people who I allege stole my patents. I believe that if there was foul play with my dad, and there's fraudulent documents, and I believe that that's trying to be covered up in the courts right now, too. This judge just determined that my brother didn't commit fraud in some crazy hearing where it wasn't even discussed. But and my brother's running around trying to tell everyone he's, you know, vindicated by this crazy Judge Phillips. But nonetheless, I believe, and you can look at the record I've created with your offices, that right now the people would be in danger from the fraud of the house being exposed in a case that they were trying to hurry up and cover up, and then all of a sudden there's a dead body in there, and they're, you know, who knows what happened. Meaning, you know, the guy, according to what my consultant has told me, who's been talking with their family, the Huhems, was supposed to meet with my brother prior to his death. And that supposedly set off an alarm with the wife. And then my brother had written me a letter just a week or so before, stating that his lawyer, Alan Rose, wrote me a letter saying my brother had no idea of who the buyer was and didn't know him really, and it had nothing to do with him. And then I'm sent pictures from Thanksgiving where my brother's holding the guy's hand at his house. And then the wife supposedly was at my brother's house, or her sister came down and then stayed at my brother's house instead of at, you know, my dad's old house. And so, you know, it just all sounds kind of crazy. And, you know, they're saying a suicide, and then, you know, but there's no suicide note. The family's all concerned, it appears, by, you know, at least what I'm reviewing on Facebook and whatnot. I mean, like, have you interviewed Lawrence Pino or Ted Bernstein yet?
I have talked to Mr. Pino.
Have you talked to Ted Bernstein?
I have talked to Mr. Bernstein.
Okay, was he supposed to meet this guy?
Before I go into that, you mentioned about seven people, sir, that you believe could be putting you in danger right now. I did get Robert Simolina,
Donald Tesher, Alan B. Rose, Ted Stewart Bernstein, Judge Martin Colon, Judge John L. Phillips.
I'm sorry, Judge Martin Colon. Who was the other one?
Judge John L. Phillips.
Uh-huh.
And that should be most of them. That's the main group. There's other people involved who I've made allegations against being involved in the frauds on the estate. I mean, the whole estate's being robbed. I think if you call Andrew Panzer or Detective Miller or whatever, I think they'll tell you that there's enough allegations there of a lot of crimes. Now, I've taken some of those crimes because I believe PBSO's failed in their investigation to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who has ongoing investigations into certain of those people I just mentioned. And you will take note that Robert Spallina and Donald Tesher are both under SEC consent Robert Spallina having admitted to criminal insider trading, and I believe that investigation was wrapped up with their consent, but Robert Spallina came into a December 15, 2015 hearing to testify to the validity of the documents he frauded, which was kind of crazy, but nonetheless, they did it. And in that, I asked him several questions about certain frauds that he admitted to, and he said that in some of the crimes, he had not reported those to any authorities yet on the stand under oath. I reported that to Judge Phillips, who's failed to report that, so I would, you know, consider that to be aiding and abetting felony criminal acts of officers of his court. And I have made that allegation, you know, basically to the other parties that I've notified. He also violated his consent when I asked him. I asked him if he was under consent. That he answered honestly. And then I asked him, have you pled guilty to a felony? He said no. I asked him a misdemeanor. But if you read the consent order, it says that he pled guilty to criminal misconduct, insider trading. So I contacted the SEC. They are investigating that. They told me to contact the FBI and gave me an agent, and I've been working with her. I've told her everything about the Palm Beach County Sheriff, the investigations, what happened in those investigations, who's involved in those investigations.
As far as Mr. Hume and Mrs. Hume, is there anything else I should be aware of?
You know, I don't know anything about Mitch Hume or his wife, other than what I've been learning, like probably you, from the internet and whatnot. My consultant has been in contact with them, so he has gotten some information as well. Did you investigate the shell companies that were involved in this, the Lion's Head Land Trust?
I'm sorry, who is your consultant?
Kevin Hall. And did you interview Lalani Ochoa? Oh, that's who's in danger. Jesus. Sorry, I totally forgot. Lalani Ochoa-Wada? Have you spoken to her?
No.
Well, I think she's in real danger.
Okay. Lalani Ochoa-Wada is in danger, okay?
It's L-E-I-L-A-N-I.
Right.
And then O-C-H... O-C-H-O-A-D-A.
O-A-D-A. I almost had it right.
Okay, and she's in Orlando, and you should get her emails from Lawrence Pino. She knows everything that happened with Lawrence Pino. And she is the one who told Kevin that she had nothing to do with it, and then they called me on a taped call that she agreed to tape, and we can get you records of that as well. And so she knew the fraud info was going into the court, into the FBI. That was February 18th, few days before the body was found. So she knew all that. She was willing to testify to whoever she had to tell him she had nothing to do with this home sale, that it was a fraudulent transaction. She contacted Pino or something. I'm not exactly sure how that part went down, but I can find out for you if you need it. You know, but you can definitely call her yourself. And then the body, then I guess, I haven't seen your report yet on the investigation, but then I guess you found the body a few days later. We don't know about that. We go to court just telling them that there's a fraudulent shell company. And that shell company looks exactly, if you're looking at the Sun Sentinel, you know, I woke up and read that paper that's got, you know, the Panama Papers, where there's shell companies being used to do million-dollar all-cash home deals that involves offshore crazy accounts and stuff. And that's exactly how my dad's home was sold. And so it almost sounds in that same kind of fraudulent behavior. And I don't know. You know, I have speculated that that Mitch might have been used once I had caught everybody in the court and the sale was going all the way up to the Supreme Court. They might have found this guy Mitch, and I don't know how, but got him to take a house, and anybody would take a $4 million house for $1 million. And then, you know, I don't know if they, you know, wanted to get rid of him and, you know, cover up what they had done, or that if, because Lalani had contacted Pino, the word started going around that something was going on, and then they killed him. And, or, you know, I don't know. Do you think it's a suicide or a murder yet? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Do you think it's a suicide or a murder?
I have absolutely no indication that it's anything other than a suicide.
Oh, okay, good. Did you get a note by any chance?
Well, that's going to be, that information is still left for the family.
Okay. Lalani's cell is 407-758-3554. And you should also speak to Kathy Simmons, who's Pino's...
I'm sorry, hold on. Lalani,
407-758-3554.
Uh-huh.
And you should also speak with Kathy Simmons, Pino's assistant.
Okay.
And were you the first one on the scene?
No, sir.
Oh, okay. Was it called in as a 911?
I'm trying to figure out how that is going to help the investigation.
It's just a question I had. And there was also something about life insurance that we, you know, that somebody was messing with Mitch's life insurance. There might have been court orders where the family was supposed to be taken care of and might not be. And that somehow there's a will where the wife, the new wife, and...
Do you know if she's reached out to law enforcement to receive help for her being endangered?
I don't know that.
Okay.
And why
do you believe Leilani's in danger?
Well, I just told you. Meaning she might have contacted, I believe, Lawrence Pino to find out, like, what the hell's my name doing on a deed of a company I didn't incorporate, because she swears she would have never incorporated, didn't incorporate, didn't live at the house like it says she did. And so she swore to that. She put it in a taped call that Kevin arranged, and then... I believe she was willing to talk to the State Department, the FBI.
Okay.
The sister, I believe, of Mitch, says that Deborah Hewham's time frames have changed. So, did she call it in as a 9/11? Was why I was asking that question. And Lawrence Pino had a big meeting with Mitch on Saturday, February 20th, according to Hewham's sister.
Okay, and this is information you've gotten for Mrs.
Hewham? I've never talked to a Hewham. My consultant, Kevin, has. He's been speaking with the family, Lalani, those kind of people.
Okay. All right, Mr.
There's also...
Bernstein.
Yes.
As of today, as of right now, is there anything that I can help you with? Are you in danger right now?
You know, am I in danger right now? I could be. I don't know if you're coming out and saying it's a suicide and you have that, then I guess the guy killed himself. So, you know, I would feel in no more danger than I have felt since this stuff and the frauds in the court and me exposing all the thefts and the judges and everything has been going on. I've just contacted Loretta Lynch, in a formal letter, the Attorney General of the United States. I also wrote a letter to Preet Bharara, who's conducting a investigation into my attorney and judge conduct complaints that go way back 15 years. I was part of a thing called the Moreland Commission. That just led to two of the most powerful men in New York being arrested and convicted. I'm right at the center of a lot of those things. So, you know, I'm in danger constantly, I believe. But, you know, if this was a murder, yeah, then I do feel I am in danger. And I did notify the FBI of that. And they told me to contact you. And I said, well, I'm not sure I'm not in danger from the Palm Beach County Sheriff.
Okay.
Do you know how many shotgun shells were found?
That's still not made public yet, okay?
Okay, and did you speak to Serena Hughem, Mitch's sister?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Because she was willing...
Bernstein, I really appreciate your time.
Okay, and, you know, I really appreciate yours. Also, have you spoken with Kelly Bangert?
I don't believe so, no.
She is saying, according to my consultant, that Pino was starting some kind of rumor that I had a fight with Mitch Hughem, but I've never spoken to Mitch Hughem, didn't know Mitch Hughem, never had a conversation with Mitch Hughem in my life. So I just wanted to make sure you're aware of that. And, you know, Kelly is a he, Kelly Bangert.
Okay.
And that info came from Serena Hughem.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You have a great night.
Okay. And if I, you know, learn anything else, you want me to contact you or?
Sure.
Okay, good. And likewise, hopefully you'll do that. Do you have a case number on that, by the way?
You gave me the case number.
Oh, you're the case. I gave you the case number?
Yeah. On February 28th, you gave me the case number.
Of your investigation?
Yes, sir.
Oh, do you have it? I just wanted to put it on my notes here.
It's 16-042-460.
Okay. Yeah, and I'd also like if you can find out what's going on with my internal affairs investigations or, you know, what's going on. I'm kind of waiting for...
I would not be able to help you out with that. If you have a contact within the sheriff's office about that, I would definitely reach out to them.
Okay, I will. I'll call them. Okay. All right, well, thank you very much for your time, Max.
Thank you, sir.
Detective Perez. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.